Welcome back to Clowncast, the show where we explore topics like they're magic, but they're not, but they kind of are. I'm your host, and today we are doing something that might break the universe a little bit.
Oh no, what are we doing?
We're explaining how this show works, like the literal machinery behind Clowncast, how episodes get made, published, and delivered to your podcast app, potentially without a single human being touching anything on the day it goes live.
Wait, so this is the episode where the magic trick explains itself.
This is the magic trick explaining itself. And honestly, I think understanding how the trick works makes it cooler, not less cool, because the trick is genuinely kind of wild.
All right, I'm in.
But I have to say, there's something deeply unsettling about a podcast episode about how the podcast makes itself. It's like finding a note in your house that says the house wrote this.
That's actually not a bad analogy. So here's the setup. Clowncast hit 76 episodes, all made the old-fashioned way. Research, writing, recording, editing, publishing, all done manually. And then the host, Joey, got a full-time job.
As one does.
As one does. And the options were basically, go on hiatus, release sporadically, or build a system that could keep the show running daily while he's, you know, at work, sleeping, living his life.
And he chose option 3, the unhinged option.
He chose option 3, and what he built is a fully automated pipeline, a 9-step process that takes a topic, researches it, writes a script, generates the audio, transcribes it, creates metadata, publishes it to Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and archives everything. Every single day, fires at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Okay, so this is literally the sorcerer's broom from Fantasia.
That's exactly what it is. And I love that you went there because that's the perfect frame for understanding this. You remember the scene. Mickey's the sorcerer's apprentice, is tired of carrying water, so he enchants the broom with a spell. The broom starts carrying water buckets on its own. Mickey goes to sleep, and the broom just keeps going.
And then it floods the entire tower because Mickey didn't build in a stop condition.
Right, and that's the critical detail. The original fairy tale is a cautionary story about automation without safeguards. But what if Mickey had actually been a competent wizard? What if he'd built in a bucket counter, a water level sensor, and a way to pause and resume the spell?
Then he'd have built a podcast pipeline, apparently.
Basically, yeah. So let me walk through the 9 steps of the spell, because the engineering is actually fascinating. Step 1. Research. The system uses Claude. That's the AI model from Anthropic. To have a multi-turn conversation about whatever topic is queued up, it reads. It synthesizes. It produces structured research notes.
Like the notes this very episode is based on.
Exactly like those notes. Step 2. Script generation. Another Claude call takes those research notes and produces a 2-host conversational script. Roughly 3,000 words. The format you're hearing right now.
This is getting very recursive, and I need you to know that I'm uncomfortable.
Step 3 is where it gets really cool. Text-to-speech rendering. The system uses Piper, which is an open-source TTS engine, and here's the thing, Hoste's voice, that's a custom-trained model based on Joey's actual voice. His real speaking voice was used to fine-tune the model.
So this man made a Horcrux.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. He literally split off a piece of himself, his voice, his speech patterns, and stored it in a model file, and .onx file sitting on a hard drive, and now that artifact can speak for him even when he's not there. It's a soul jar. It's a phylactery.
That's both incredibly cool and mildly terrifying. What about my voice? I also a Horcrux.
You, my friend, are a pre-trained Northern English male voice model that shipped with Piper. You exist because that voice sounded good in testing.
I'm not even a custom Horcrux. I'm an off-the-shelf Horcrux.
You're a very charming off-the-shelf Horcrux. So the TTS renders every single line of dialogue as its own WAV file. And then step 4. This is subtle but important. Those WAV files get stitched together with very specific silence gaps. 0.3 seconds between lines from the same speaker. 0.6 seconds on speaker changes.
That's oddly specific.
Those numbers were tuned by ear over dozens of episodes. The 0.3 is like a breath. The 0.6 is like that natural pause when you're waiting for someone to finish before you respond. It's the conversational rhythm encoded as math.
So even the pauses are engineered. That's actually kind of beautiful.
Step 5. Transcode to MP3. 128 kilobits per second. Mono. 44.1 kHz, standard PodTest format. Step 6, transcription using WhisperX, which gives you word-level timestamp alignment. Step 7, metadata generation. A lighter AI model produces the title, description, and chapter timestamps. Step 8, publish. Upload the audio to Cloudflare R2, which is like Amazon S3, but cheaper. Post the episode data to the portfolio site, and ping Google's web sub hub to notify Spotify and Apple that there's a new episode.
And step 9.
Archive. Save everything, the research, the script, the transcript, the tags, and crucially, a teaser for what the next episode could be about. And that last part is key because it creates a self-generating content pipeline. Each episode's ending plants the seed for a future episode.
Okay, so now I'm thinking about this differently.
This isn't just the sorcerer's broom.
This is an idle game.
Tell me more.
You know those games Loop Hero, Melver Idle, even Cookie Clicker, where the whole point is you set up the system, optimize your build, and then the game plays itself while you're away. You check back in and there's all this progress waiting for you.
That's a perfect metaphor for this. The backlog, which is stored in a JSON file with all the queued up topics. That's your adventure queue. Each topic is an encounter waiting to be processed. And the theme days, Music Monday, Tech Tuesday, Sports Wednesday, and so on. Those are your biome rotations.
And the 9 pipeline steps are the combat loop.
Research is scouting, script generation is strategy, TTS is the attack phase, publishing is collecting the loot.
And offline progress, the core mechanic of idle games, is literally what's happening. Joey's at work, and when he gets home, there's a fresh episode live. The 5 a.m. scheduler is the daily login reward generating itself.
I've played enough idle games to know that the real game isn't the combat loop. It's the meta game of optimization. How do you make the loop more efficient?
Exactly. And that's what happened here. 76 episodes of doing it manually was the playing actively phase. Building the pipeline was the prestige upgrade that lets the system run autonomously.
But here's my question.
The interactive research step, where the AI asks questions and gets human feedback that gets skipped in auto mode, right?
The function that waits for user input just gets replaced with a function that returns go.
Yeah, and that's a real trade-off. In the original interactive mode, there can be up to 10 rounds of back and forth. The AI asks, should I dig deeper into this angle? And the human says yes, but focus on the economic side or whatever. In auto mode, the AI's first pass gets auto-approved and the system moves on.
So it's like in Fantasia, when Mickey removes the ask permission before getting more water check from the broom spell.
That's literally what it is. But the difference is, and this is important, the wizard here built in other safeguards. That entire pipeline state gets serialized to a JSON file after every single step. If the power goes out during TTS rendering, you can run a resume command and it picks up exactly where it left off.
State persistence is save points.
That's a bonfire from Dark Souls.
It really is. You light the bonfire after each stage, so if you die, if the process crashes, you respawn at the last bonfire, not at the beginning.
Okay, but I need to address the elephant in the room. This whole system runs on a home server.
A PC in a bedroom. Not ours, not Google Cloud, not some fancy Kubernetes cluster.
A bedroom PC with a GPU for the WhisperX transcription step. That's it.
That's insane.
This is a wizard's tower, not a factory.
What happens when the power goes out?
You resume from the last save point. But yeah, there's no redundancy, no failover. No load balancing. The orchestration layer is systemd, which is the process manager built into Linux. Not Kubernetes. Not Apache Airflow. Not any of the enterprise tools you'd expect. Just systemd saying run this service. Restart it if it crashes.
That's like using a Stardew Valley sprinkler system instead of, I don't know, an industrial irrigation network.
And that's actually a great frame for the whole thing. Think of it as a farm. The backlog is the planted field. All your seeds in the ground. The scheduler is the sprinkler system. It fires automatically every morning. The theme days are crop rotation. You're not planting the same thing every day. You're cycling through topics to keep the soil healthy. And the pipeline itself is like having Junimo Hut set up. Those little forest spirits in Stardew that harvest your crops while you're off doing other things.
And the shipping bin is the publish step.
You just throw the finished episode in the bin and it shows up as money, or in this case, as a podcast on Spotify.
Exactly. And like, remember when we talked about the tech behind college recruiting back in episode 51? That whole episode was about how automation transformed the human judgment domain. Scouts use to watch VHS tapes. Now AI platforms analyze highlight reels. This is the exact same pattern applied to content creation.
And the WhisperX transcription step that's directly descended from the computer vision and machine learning stuff we covered in episode 50, right? Teaching machines to see, teaching machines to hear.
Same transformer architecture lineage, same revolution, different modality. And here's a fun connection. Remember the sports book episode, episode 47? The system that runs this podcast also runs a sports betting bankroll on the same Telegram bot. Same infrastructure, different dungeon.
Wait, the bot that makes podcasts also gambles.
It also scans freelance job boards and generates comic strips from episodes. It's a personal AI Swiss Army knife running through a Telegram interface.
This man built Jarvis.
Budget Jarvis running on a bedroom PC, but Jarvis.
Budget Jarvis is honestly the most accurate description of this entire setup. But here's what I think is the most interesting philosophical question in all of this. Is it still a podcast?
What do you mean?
I mean, on execution day, the day an episode goes from topic to published, zero humans are involved. The scheduler fires, the pipeline runs, and by morning there's a new episode in your feed. No human listened to it, no human approved it, no human pressed publish.
But a human designed every piece of it. A human wrote the prompts, curated the topic backlog, trained a voice model, tuned the silence gaps by ear, refined the process over 76 manual episodes.
Right, so the automation doesn't replace the creative decisions. It replaces the labor of execution. The intent is human. The taste is human. The quality bar was set by a human through iteration. The machine just runs the playbook.
It's like, okay, going back to the sorcerer's broom, the spell doesn't decide where the water goes.
The spell just carries the water.
The wizard already decided where the well is and where the cauldron is.
And the spell can't decide to carry milk instead of water. It does what it was enchanted to do.
But the auto-approve thing still bugs me a little.
Because the interactive research loop exists for a reason.
Human feedback genuinely makes the output better.
Skipping it is a deliberate quality trade-off.
It absolutely is. And this is the central tension of the idle game metaphor. In an idle game, offline progress is always slightly worse than active play. The AFK rewards are good, but they're not optimal. The game incentivizes you to check in and make active decisions. The question is whether good enough daily is more valuable than great weekly.
And from a distribution standpoint, daily content feeds the algorithm beast better than weekly content.
Which is its own kind of dark pattern, right? The content treadmill rewards volume. But does volume dilute the brand? Are 100 automated episodes worth more or less than 76 handcrafted ones?
I think the answer is probably it depends on what you're optimizing for. If you're optimizing for audience growth, daily wins.
If you're optimizing for per episode quality, manual wins.
And this system lets you do both. Auto mode for the daily baseline, manual mode when you have time to really dig in.
That's exactly right. The automation is a floor, not a ceiling. You can always jump back in and drive manually.
One more thing that gets me.
The cost. What does it actually cost to run an episode?
Roughly 50 cents to $2 in API calls per episode. Claude Sonnet for the heavy lifting, research and scripts, and Haiku for the lightweight metadata step. The voice generation is free because Piper is open source and runs locally. The hosting on Cloudflare R2 is pandas. The server is already paid for.
So for the price of a coffee, you get a full podcast episode researched, written, voiced, and published.
Under $2, and the system tracks token usage per session, so you always know exactly what you spent.
That's wild.
We truly live in the future.
A weird, slightly janky, running on a bedroom PC future, but the future.
A wizard's tower future, not a corporate factory future. And I think that's actually the most important part of this whole story. This isn't a big tech platform. This isn't a VC-funded startup. This is one person, one server, open source tools, and a lot of iteration. The Sorcerer's Broom is available to anyone who's willing to learn the spell.
Assuming they don't flood the tower.
Assuming they don't flood the tower. Build in your save points, people. Serialize your state.
So what's next?
Where does Clowncast go from here?
You know what I've been thinking about? The voice cloning angle deserves its own deep dive. The technology that makes Host A's voice possible. That same tech is behind deepfakes, voice phishing, all kinds of wild and scary applications. How does synthetic voice technology actually work? What are the ethics? Where is the line between cloning your own voice for podcast and cloning someone else's voice for fraud?
Oh, the Horcrux episode. I'm into it.
The Horcrux episode. That's what we'll call it. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the most meta episode of Clowncast we'll probably ever do. The show that explained itself.
The broom that described its own enchantment.
We'll see you next time. And if you're listening to this before Joe's even woken up, you're welcome.
The wizard sleeps.
The broom carries water.
Clowncast out.